Right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first podcast from OzPuck. Sometimes we get tired of writing, so we thought we'd come at you in audio form. Not that there isn't enough junk on the site already, but, you know, now you can listen to us while you're on the trains and cars or what have you. I'd like to welcome our special guest, future blogger. Doesn't really have a tag yet. Have you thought of one?
I was just going to go with the old, just the old weapon.com.
I think that suits you.
I just also like to add that we're obviously, you know, blind friendly, hence the reason why we're doing this audio.
Yes, thanks. Response to previous comments when I linked a bunch of other podcasts and someone came out and said the deaf people prefer to read about hockey, and I was like, well, you know, that's fair enough. I guess you don't really have any other choice, unless ESPN broadcasts in sign language now.
Apparently they've got a little guy in the corner there.
Geez, that's a tough job, right? Wow, you have to your hands would be moving. I wonder how you pronounce Bifugilian in sign language.
Yeah.
Anyway, we have a moving on. There's enough cheap shots that, you know, just cheap
strange named NHLers.
Yeah, cheap shots in general, I would say. This being a Monday after the AHL finals wrapped up, what are your thoughts?
You know, it was a good weekend. You know, Melbourne obviously brought home the cup. I think that maybe the Adelaide team, I was hoping the Adelaide team in the end was going to win. They seem like to be the underdogs, apart from the Sydney Bears of the tournament. And I guess Melbourne, Adelaide couldn't hold Melbourne off, just like the Bears couldn't hold off Melbourne in the second game of the first day. So
yeah, well, what was the final score? 6-4, something like that.
That's it. 6-4. It definitely wasn't a nail biter. That's for sure. Goaltending wise, I think someone mentioned on OzPuck before, it wasn't a goaltender's game for sure. I was there myself, and I have to agree that the goaltenders let a few weak shots in, but you know, it left room for the Australian players to put some points on the boards apart from the imports, so that was good.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people have been saying as well, that the Australians really carried it, the final series, you know, and a lot of these imports didn't show up, they probably don't know what, you know, what it takes to play with pride and passion.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, they come from a league that they get paid to block shots and, you know, put their body under, you know, a tremendous amount of stress, whereas, you know, over here we have to pay. Everyone has to pay to play and pay to have pride and integrity and still block shots without knowing that, you know, when your teeth come out, it's not a quick paycheck from the team. It's a...
No dental plan.
Yeah,
like straight
pick from your pocket.
You gotta steal someone's Medicare card. Take care of it from there. You know, it's funny that you mentioned Adelaide in there, because I would be thinking that they would just be wrapped just to make it to the final, right? Like, you know, you're thinking, you know, you finish fourth, you know, you don't squeak into the playoffs, but you know, you're in a pretty bad spot playing Newcastle, who just, you know, just shat all over themselves, apparently.
Yep.
You know, I know they had a good rally at the end and, you know, whatever, and, you know, kind of made it interesting, but man, if you give up 7 goals, you know, a game, you know, you can't be expected to win. I don't care how many superstars you've got on the team.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Adelaide wasn't a strong, import based team, but, I have to say that, you know, with an Australian, you know, national team goaltender letting 7 goals in, you know, the first 2 periods is just baffling.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I don't understand. I mean, for such a person that has obviously a lot of pride, a lot of ego.
Yeah.
Something got to him, and you know, I wasn't there to watch the game, but the scoreboard said enough, and I didn't need to, you know, really see the plays of the game to understand what happened. And,
yeah.
And he sure as hell didn't get pulled after the fourth. So,
well, I mean, you got no other options there. You're not gonna pull Ezzy because he'll never play for you again, and you know, next thing you know, he'll be off in the Turkish league.
Yeah, Iranian.
I couldn't believe it. Like, I would have bet my house on it that you know, maybe not trumped him, like I said earlier, but you know, for anyone to think that Adelaide had a chance was probably, you know, only limited to the Adelaide players, maybe their immediate families, and you know.
Well, that's why I mentioned before that apart from the Sydney Bears, they were really like the underdogs of the tournament. They had an uphill battle against Newcastle, so everyone thought.
Yeah.
And
Newcastle just gave it to them. They just said, here, look, take it. We don't want it. Yep. We're happy just to party tonight.
Yep. Yep. We took the day off Friday, flew up on Friday. We're taking the day off Monday, fly down on Monday. We're just here to have a good time. We're just happy to be here.
They came early and left late, really.
They didn't come at all.
See, maybe they went out on the Friday as well, you know. Don Champagne lived up to his name.
Yeah.
But hey, first couple of rounds are on me. So yeah, pretty exciting, eventful AHL season. Poor Canberra. You know, again started off well and then just died in the arse, and you know. Yeah. I don't know what it is, like...
Neither do I. I mean, they've got a big fan base. They have a lot of support. You know, obviously, you know, City's quite small, but that shouldn't affect, you know, the hockey team with, you know, a good support from the city itself.
Yeah,
so they're able to attract, you know, some imports, and they still have an okay, you know, Australian-based team. But I don't know. I think maybe the travel gets to them, or... I don't know.
Yeah, I would factor that in as well. I think the team does a pretty good job of trying to accommodate them, you know, with their bus and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know, maybe it just wears you out. And I guess, yeah, maybe if you lose two or three games in a row, I mean, I'm not in their locker room, so I don't know, but maybe they've just got no kind of resilience to that kind of thing. And, you know, I must say, I did watch Canberra play quite a few games this year, and I think they had an import goalie, right?
Yeah.
And he, man, like, when he was getting shelled, and whether it be his team's fault or not, I just don't think you can go screaming at players, you know, breaking sticks over the crossbar, you know, not even spending the intermission break with the team in the locker room. You know, I mean, what kind of camaraderie is that? Like, you know, as a player, I don't think you would be like, well, he's got the shits, I'm going to go and work really hard for him now.
Yeah.
Be like, yeah, he's got the shits, well, great. Go back to, you know, Canada.
Netherlands.
Yeah, I'll see you in the Turkish league. So, yeah, the Ice Dogs, yeah, they're always.
Now, that's a team that is confusing. That is definitely a team that's quite confusing. Seven Australian national team players, all play recently. You know, they're good hockey players. My opinion is that, you know, I think they let the fact that it is just, in their minds, the AIHL get in the way of, you know,
winning goddamn hockey games.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, they blew the Bears out of the water, you know, 7-2 or 7-1. You know, even kids were scoring, and that was on, you know, their import goaltender. So
Boucher.
It proves that they can blow teams, you know, that can make the finals out of the water, but why can't they do it consistently?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they're a team that likes to cycle, right? Like 1 year on top, 1 year in the basement, 1 year on top, I don't know.
It's inconceivable. Like, you know, the good base should get good imports, but maybe they just don't get the right imports.
You would have to look at the finals weekend, right? And if you're a team that's as talented as the Dogs, you would have to go, man, if we were there, we could have won it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and not talking in half truth. I mean, really, if they were there, they could have won it.
well, they were in a situation back in, what was it, 05, 04? When did they win it last? I can't remember.
They did. They won it in 05.
Yeah.
Then they beat Adelaide.
Yeah.
Or did they beat Newcastle in the final? I can't remember. They beat someone. I think they beat the Bears in the semi. That stupid own goal by that Trent Olmer kid.
Yeah.
And then went on to win it. I can't remember who they played. They may have played Newcastle or Adelaide. It was one of those two, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Newcastle.
Yeah. Well, see, you know what? The team hasn't changed since then.
Yeah. I mean, they might as well, but...
You know, same core guys. So what's the difference? Has every other team gotten that much better?
Well, you know, the Ice Dogs didn't really have... I mean, I don't want to spend this whole podcast talking about the Ice Dogs because... You know, everyone knows who they are, and
yeah.
You know, they don't need us to sell tickets on them. But they haven't really had very many good imports the last couple of years. You're right with all those national team players that I don't think they need it.
Mm.
But you know, I think they need a new coach, man. They just need someone just to, you know, not change the identity of the team, but
yeah.
You know, I can't imagine trying to be in a coach and, you know, kind of crack the whip on those guys. And
impossible. It would be impossible.
Yeah, get them to knuckle down and, you know, play some serious hockey, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You know, they want to, you know, turn every game into a shoving match and things like that. You know, it's good. Like, it's been successful. I think they've got a really good, really strong reputation in that department, you know, around the league. But, you know, if you're going to go sacrificing wins... You know, for the sake of defending your honor by fighting someone, then I don't know. You know, you will finish second last.
That's it. That's right.
Yeah. And who else got out? Brisbane or Gold Coast? Sorry.
Gold Coast.
Yeah, I don't know enough about them. They kind of tanked it in the second half of the season. They were in the top four for all but the last 4 weeks of 3 weeks of the season, something like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, I admit they had a really tough run. No, I think they played four of their last six games against Newcastle, and they lost an important game to, is it to Canberra, to the Bears? I don't know, who cares, they just, whatever. Wasn't really super duper impressed with how they brought it home, but, you know, credit to them for hanging in there for as long as they did.
Yeah.
I guess, and...
Well, they're definitely always a team to contend with each year, so they're definitely...
Yeah, have they made the playoffs though?
I don't think so.
I'm gonna say no, they haven't.
I don't think so, honestly. Unless they made it last year. Did they make it last year? Who was top four last year?
Oh, jeez.
Newcastle, Adelaide.
I might have to Google that, but I would say. Was it Newcastle, Adelaide, Bears, Melbourne?
No Bears, no God, Bears. Bears
came down. I mean Ice Dogs, Melbourne.
Maybe.
What was last year? Jeez.
Anyway, so yeah, so there.
It's good that someone updates Wikipedia about the 2009 AIHL season. Someone's got a lot more time. Oh wow, here we go. Top four. Newcastle, Melbourne, Adelaide, and Gold Coast.
There you go.
So they did get in with the Bears, Knights, and Ice Dogs. Oh, that's right. The Bears only won one game.
That's right.
In regulation last year, I remember that game quite well. Actually, I think I was there for that one. Oh, well, that's a gimme season. I mean, when the Bears totally shit all over themselves as well and die. You know, I don't know if... I'll credit Gold Coast there. They obviously did well enough.
Yeah.
I mean, they lost their semi, according to this, 5-3, and then Adelaide beat Newcastle in the finals. So, looking forward to I mean, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. We've got a long way to go before next season starts. But, you know, we've been stirring the pot a little bit with, you know, fighting in the AIHL and, you know, import rules and things like that. But I know you've touched on it in the past. We'd really like the league to take a look at the referee situation.
Absolutely.
I just think, you know, I've heard stories about these ring-ins that are on the lines and things like that. And I understand that, you know, worst case scenario is the game gets cancelled, right?
Yeah.
And no one wants that. Obviously, you know, everyone would do anything, you know, in their power to avoid that. But I gotta say that, you know, pulling like some, you know, teenage kid, you know, that, you know, might ref a peewee game, and then to run the lines in the AIHL. Whew,
yeah, it's a pretty tough ask. You can't really bring someone up from, you know, the minor games to you know, and then not be held responsible.
You know, I mean, obviously it's all about, you know, the people that are available and things like that, but the league really doesn't do a lot to promote becoming a referee.
No.
You just don't see it advertised enough, right? I mean, I understand it's all volunteers to get it all organized and things like that. And it does take years to, you know, become a good referee. But, you know, there's got to be – I mean, I know the hockey IQ of most Australians isn't great. You know, I think a lot of the parents that look after teams probably never played it themselves. You know, but there's got to be – you know, the sport's been around long enough that there's got to be some, you know, 30-year-old – knowledgeable people that would be happy to ref an AIHL game.
I guess also the incentive would be they'd be the only officials or officials to be paid.
yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how hard it is to get someone to come out at Penrith on a Sunday night, but hey, if you're going to do it for $50, then, you know, you get a bit of time in the spotlight. You know, get to control the destiny of a hockey game every now and again. So I just don't understand why we're in such desperate short need of referees when we can, you know, we can fill a 6 or 7 team league. We can't get enough refs to, you know.
Well, maybe we can get enough refs. It's quality though.
Well, that's true. That's
people who know the game, people who know when to let a play, people who doesn't, you know, refs that don't make it about themselves. And are able to discern when, you know, the game should flow and when it should really be taken control of and, you know, the momentum of a game during the game, you know?
Yeah.
And I just don't think we have that kind of quality.
Well, you know, and when you talk about that, you're probably really only talking about 2 or maybe 3 individuals in Australia that really have that kind of respect as a referee. So, I mean, wouldn't you say that? I mean, being... you know, from watching games and being around them, there's not too many refs that kind of mantra about them that you just expect to, you know, to have a game where there's a good flow and, you know, everything goes according to plan.
Yeah.
They do make it about themselves maybe a little bit. I don't know. I probably don't know enough to comment, but from what I've seen and from what I've heard, it's hopefully it's something the league looks into.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got 8 months to sort it out. You can turn some average Joe into a half decent referee in that time.
Yeah.
So hopefully they get on it. But for moving on from there, I mean, I like when the AHLs come and all of that. And you know, we'll get into a couple more issues about them. You know, in the coming podcasts, I would say I don't want to say this is be a. It might be a monthly thing with that. Mm-hmm. See what happens.
We'll have to find more guests.
I know. I've already got them lined up, actually. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised how many people emailed me from AusPuck wanting to know more information about what's happening on the site. It's really impressive. So thanks to everyone out there who reads, and thanks – if you're listening to this. But onto some, we're going to talk about the NHL for a little bit. It's going to go through, you know, favorite teams and what's been happening just to get a bit of an update. But Buttsweapon.com, if I can draw your attention to Ilya Kovalchuk. The situation.
David Popick in the NHL right now.
Oh, man. So unless this podcast is going to be your primary source of information, the Devils signed Kovalchuk to a 17-year, $115 million contract that the NHL rejected. I think that was probably about a month ago, I would say. End of July, I would say.
Yep.
And obviously the Devils want to retain Kovalchuk, so they are currently they've submitted contract 2.0 to the NHL for approval.
Which is underway right now.
Yeah. I'll go through the details. Just to recap, the first contract was 17 years. At 106, I can't. Yeah, it might be 106, 108 million, something like that. That was rejected because it's got a very long tail. And by tail, I mean it was 6 or 7 years at league minimum. You know, just to circumvent the salary cap. Mm-hmm. The NHL went, nah, you're not doing that. Just to go back even further, the NHL did investigate the Hossa contracts, the Zetterberg contract. For those GMs that did try and circumvent the salary cap, and it was kind of a warning to the league about, look, you can do it this time, but if this gets, if people get carried away with this, we're gonna, cut it off. And anyway, so it was ruled that Ilya Kovalchuk's first contract wasn't in the spirit of the CBA, and it wasn't technically illegal, but it was rejected by an arbitrator anyway. So it was
taking the piss of the NHLPA.
Exactly. Well, they weren't taking the NHLPA was taking the piss of NHL.
Right.
Let's put it that way. Yeah. So Kovalchuk's second contract gets in today, and get this. So they've reduced the term from 17 years to 15 years. And reduced the salary from 106 million to 100 million exactly. So I can't see this getting approved either.
No.
I mean, he's 27, right? So the contract goes to what, he's 42, which is the same as a Zetterberg and a Hossa contract. So that might be the only reason.
Yep.
It'll probably get approved. But if you're Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, you got to look at Lou Lamoriello, who's the GM of the Devils, and just go, look, Lou, what are you doing? You're turning them into a bit of a farce, right? Yeah. It's a bit of a sideshow, skeptical kind of thing that I'm sure that the NHL is just hoping to avoid. So they might just approve it so they can just, close the book on Kovalchuk. Yeah, it's an interesting point that 100 million is less than he rejected from Atlanta.
Yeah.
I mean, they offered him 7 years, 70 million, and I think it was 10 years. It was 12 years, 102 million.
Well, he's never won a cup.
He's never won anything. He's never won a playoff game.
You can't put a price on a cup. And I think he believes that. By going, by either staying, at Atlanta, 70, million for 7 years is not worth going to a team that's going to win the cup.
Well, you're right. I think there are better teams. I think there are teams that have a better chance to win the cup than the Devils. But I think he knows that if he's there for 15 years, he'll get his chances.
That's right.
Just the way the Devils are run and all that kind of stuff. And what he was. He's been in Atlanta since, 2001?
Yeah.
He went to playoffs once and got swept
by
the Rangers. I mean, hilarious situation. So, everyone else runs away from Atlanta, so he may as well. 15 years, 100 million. I'll post something about it in the coming days to keep everyone in the loop. But just a hilarious situation. He's got every right to make as much money as he wants, but, calm down.
But now, I don't know if you noticed the comment, but you know, I just mentioned, you know, he wants to be on a winning team with a chance to win the cup. But I think I read somewhere that if it doesn't get approved within 48 hours, there's talk of him going to the Continental Hockey League.
Yeah, the I think the St. Petersburg team. Yeah. They've been throwing the 17-year contract at him as well, and I think. I haven't read about this in a while, but it was they were offering something like $20 million a year, but not for the life of the contract. I think for maybe the first 10 years or something like that. Mm-hmm. It was some ridiculous figure, right? And you know, you know, yeah. I don't, you know, he's got a Russian girlfriend or wife now, and I know that they're all based in New York, so I don't know if he would move up and move it, but it's a lot of money and it's tax free and you know, but I mean, I don't think you can go to the KHL. I think that kind of contract would send the KHL bankrupt, like that. Yeah. Three teams fold last year.
Yeah.
You know, and you blame that on the GFC if you want, but
was a GFC?
Yeah, didn't you hear about it? that's why we were recording this podcast, because we lost our jobs because of it, remember?
Right, that's... oh, that GFC.
If anyone wants to sponsor us, please drop me an email, because we need groceries. Well, I need groceries. So, yeah, I would rule the KHL out, but, you know, if the NHL keeps rejecting these $100 million contracts that are given to Kovalchuk... who knows where he ends up? You know, if he goes, then, you know, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah, great player. I love watching him, but, you know, no one player is bigger than the sport.
That's right.
So I'm going to stick to that right there. Any other teams you want to talk about during the offseason? Anyone that's interest you particularly?
Well, I guess we can talk about the, the refurnishing of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
I guess that's one way you could put it. Cabrelle was on my list here, if you wanted to talk about him. Again, unless this podcast is going to be your primary source of information, Cabrelle had a no trade clause. Cabrelle's no trade clause was actually, he doesn't have a no trade clause in the off season if Toronto doesn't make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Does that make sense?
Yep.
So there's a period of time from, I think it's June 26th or the day before the NHL draft. So June 25th, June 26th, something like that. All the way up until August 15th, where Toronto has the right to trade him to anyone. Anyone that followed Byron Burke, made a lot of press releases about what was going to happen with Kovalchuk, that he sent a letter to all other 29 teams explaining, you know, that he was available and what the terms of his no trade clause was and blah, blah, blah. You know, there's obviously the Toronto media is starved for things to write hockey about. So this was on, you know, every paper and a lot of things like that. And, August 15th came and passed and Cabrelle was still a member of the Leafs. Brian Burt was claiming that he didn't see or he didn't feel that any of the trade proposals that were offered, equaled the value that Thomas Cabrelle brought to the Maple Leafs. So, you know, what do you get? 9 goals and, you know, 50 points last year. So, still a good talent. But Toronto's obviously got a loaded blue line now with 8 NHL caliber defensemen, which is good because, you know, you ask any coach around the league and they'll say that you need 8 defensemen to make a serious run at being competitive. You know, good goaltending, Giguère and Gustafsson. Should be a pretty good tandem,
mm-hmm.
Especially behind whatever 6 defensemen Toronto decides to throw out. They picked up Chris Versteeg in a trade from Chicago. Who'd they give up for that? Stolberg?
Yeah, Stolberg.
Easton.
Chris DiDomenico.
Yeah, DiDomenico, who, you know, could all just flame out to be nothings, right? And you know, Versteeg was playing on the third line in Chicago once Hossa arrived. So, you know, put up, what, back-to-back 20-goal seasons. He'll get first-line minutes in Toronto. You know, we'll do well in the power play. We'll kill, you know, a couple penalties a game. So, good addition. I look for him to be like a kind of 30-goal, 60-point guy.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that you see a lot of people write that, you know, Versteeg will be Toronto's biggest headache all season. But also the highlight real goal for Toronto of the season will come from Versteeg's stick.
Right.
So I think, you know,
that's cool.
Yeah, loads and loads of potential and, you know, obviously pretty creative with the puck and, you know, likes to be an offensive force, but there will be times that people will be scratching their heads. So
what about this young kid? What about this young kid, Kadri?
Kadri? Well, Kadri had a points per game mark of 3 during the OHL playoffs, which is pretty amazing.
Yep.
You know, obviously he was 19, so he was a little bit older, but you know, he's gonna be 19, 20 during the season. He's about 180 pounds, you know, 6 foot tall. So, you know, anyone that's expecting him to put up, you know, Patrick Kane type numbers is probably kidding themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But Kadri could be a Tavares, right? Tavares puts up 20 goals, 40 points. Kadri could be a Tavares. Like, he could be a real find at the number 7 spot. And I think that if that draft was done over again,
yep,
Kadri wouldn't have fallen to 7th. Like, you know, Victor Hedman,
mm-hmm,
you know, the number 2 overall pick, what's he done in Tampa Bay? Nothing. So
I got concussed, maybe knocked out a couple of times.
He's, you know, he's probably gone back to Sweden, you know, start a rock band. It's like, I can't. Remember, he was a really high prospect. Remember that kid? Remember, everyone's like, you know, take Hedman over Tavares, and, you know, watch your blue line flourish for the next decade.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean,
I think when you give an 18, 19 year old that much pressure, a guy can go either one way or the other, and I believe that he's been given too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I mean, you know, I think it's tough for defensemen to develop in the NHL. I think they need time, you know, in the juniors or minors just to get a handle on how much quicker the players come at you.
Yeah.
But Hedman was playing with, you know, in the SEL.
Yep.
That's the Swedish Elite League. So, you know, he's obviously playing against men over there, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, any team that wins the Memorial Cup, for our listeners that don't know, that's the cup that goes to the winner of the Canadian Hockey League Major Junior Leagues, I guess. Yep. All three of them.
Yep.
Whoever wins that, I'm pretty sure, would absolutely destroy any of those SEL teams.
Yeah.
In a game, I would say. Like, you know, those SEL teams are all washed up guys.
Yep.
Yeah, is Alfredson playing there yet? No? Damn. Ugh, hate that guy, by the way. So I want to give you a couple more things to talk about here. I, for one, am excited about the release of NHL 11.
Oh, probably the biggest topic to be talking about right about now.
I would say so. Let me just start before we get into this. If anyone's listening to this and you're a hockey fan and you have an Xbox and you don't have NHL, you are an idiot. I mean, okay, you may not be an idiot, but you are robbing yourself of hours and hours and hours of pure...
Especially if you can't play the game. If you can't play the game, what are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. If you're listening to this and not playing NHL at the same time, get the hell out of here.
Yeah. I'm playing NHL at the same time.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously I'm not playing it right now, but I really wish I was. Because, you know, I would be having more fun than this. So, EA Sports is obviously quite proud of their NHL range, and this year just promises to absolutely raise the bar, you know, take it to a whole new level. What have you heard about the game?
What have I heard? I've heard about, obviously, the as they bring out a new NHL game each year, they rant and rave about, I guess, new moves and, new ways of hitting players. But this game is, like you said before, is going to be a new wave in technology. I mean, there's a new physics system, a physics engine, that's apparently going to be something we've never seen before, which I'm quite excited to see. I've only seen previews, obviously on YouTube and whatnot, but just looking at it looks absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
You know, what more can you say? You have to really see it for yourself.
Yeah. We are getting a bit ahead of ourselves here. When does it come out in Australia? I think it's September, or is it October?
You know, I think it's going to be released a little bit later in Australia than, you know, the US and North American release. So
it's already out there though, isn't it? Isn't it September 9 it comes out here?
I reckon it comes out September 7th worldwide.
Uh-huh.
North America wide, and yeah. I think it's going to be maybe a week later than North America.
Well, I'll investigate on that and you know, keep everyone up to date. Not that you can't just go to electronicsboutique.com and figure it out for yourself, but like I do with all of my links, I'll do all the work for everyone. NHL 11, very exciting. You mentioned the physics engine. That's obviously a really big deal. So many things that they had to program into the game are gone now. They just allow this engine to absolutely calculate everything that is happening in real time. And we'll calculate the outcomes as well. So, no two hits are the same. That's what they say.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, and the puck
breaking sticks.
Oh wow, breaking sticks! About time. That was in the NHL series. So I don't know if you'll get an option to play with a wood stick now to prevent breakage. But one thing that I, you know, yeah, get
those teeny one pieces. Pretty flimsy. I wonder if you can choose a Jason Spezza special.
Yeah. We'll get Al McInnes back.
Yeah. Like a cheat.
I read that in the game settings, you can actually change the frequency of broken sticks. So you can bump it up. So, like, you know.
Every shot is a snap.
Yeah. You get Datsuk going in, pulling a Datsuk in deep, and his stick will just break on him.
And if there was an AIHL referee, they'd definitely be given a penalty for illegal use of a stick.
That's right. Like, yeah, you don't even know it's broken, and before you know what's going on, you're in the box. Get out of here. I think that's all about it. Other features of NHL 11, obviously they're including all of the CHL teams this year as well.
Wow.
So you've got every team from the WHL, the OHL, and the QMJHL.
Wow.
Which is obviously quite a big deal. I think you can go back and you can play as, you know, any of your favorite stars that aren't in the AIHL or in the NHL yet. I mean AHL. Because Kadri's coming down here.
You mean I can't play as Liam Webster from Melbourne?
No, but you can probably play as Ezzy.
Who is that guy?
Yeah. Ezzy from 2000.
Ah.
Doing something.
He wouldn't be the goaltender from Newcastle.
Yeah, I think that's him.
Lost 7-6 in the final? No.
we shouldn't rub it in, but it is pretty funny to, you know, think about this glorious goaltender who just shat all over himself. That's my phrase for the night. Everyone's just shitting all over themselves.
It is a popular phrase, and it's very in tune with the subject.
Yeah, yeah, it certainly is. Now, I might just create a goalie in NHL 11 called Ezzy and just, you know, stone him. a man can dream. I think that's about it for NHL 11. Yeah, it's very exciting. Obviously, I'll keep you a bit more updated. But, yeah, all those stupidly programmed things that were put into the game, you know, like catch-up and all those...
Up no more.
Yeah, they're all gone. So you're going to have to get creative if you want to win. I have actually read a couple things that said that... you know, from the previews that have come out, what do they release? They release a trial version.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, you get to play a period or something.
Yeah, on PS3, you can download it.
Yeah, I think there was. I think it's Philadelphia and Chicago that you get to play. And apparently, there were reports that, you know, if you are Patrick Kane, you can still smash over Chris Pronger. So we'll see if it's true.
So you're saying it's realistic?
Well, maybe slew footed him or something. I don't
know. Ah, right, yeah.
But no, apparently from the description, it was like Pronger goes into the park, you know, goes into the corner to get the puck and just gets leveled by Kane. So, you know, that'll be interesting to see if this physics engine lives up to its hype. But I've got a feeling that's kind of just a one-off. Maybe that was a, you know, like a pre-release and they're holding something back, but
well, they're still tampering with it, making sure,
yeah,
you know, giving the public something to taste.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they're probably just you're probably just playing NHL 10. Yeah, this will shut them up. Yeah, have fun playing this in your mum's basement. not that I can talk.
Hey,
no, that's where we're recording podcasts as well. get back on the topic of NHL here. Read about any of the rule changes. Well, I went. Well, actually, there is one rule change
that I officially.
Yeah. I'll let you know what it is. It's got to do with the tiebreaker system that they use in the standings of the NHL. Right. If two teams finish, you know, in eighth spot, you know, with equal amount of points.
Yep.
The tiebreaker is wins. So, you know, say I have 41 wins and you have 40 wins, but we have the same amount of points.
Yep.
You get in because you've got 41 wins and I've got 40.
Yep.
Now what the rule change is that no shootout wins will be counted against that win total.
Okay.
So, you know, if you have five or six shootout wins and the other team has like four regular, you know, four regular time wins.
Yep.
Then they will get in.
Well, that's
a good rule. Yeah, I think it's a good rule. I think, you know, obviously the people that run the NHL know that or recognize that, you know, the shootout is just a way to get a winner.
Mm.
I don't think it necessarily means that team deserved to win.
That's right.
So I think they're just taking that out of the equation. So if you're relying on overtime wins now, shootout wins now, you know, a la Edmonton Oilers or something like that, when they were in their playoff push a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. You know, not all points are equal, it would appear.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 points in one game is worth more than 2 points in another game. Which will be something else to pay attention to. Obviously won't impact anyone until the stretch drive of the season, but you know, you don't want to get stuck in a situation where you get burned because you just want in shootouts all the time. So also the NHL's research and development camp came to a close. Mm-hmm. Last week, did you hear much about that?
I did. I heard a few experimental things that Brendan Shanahan was obviously, you know, fooling around with. I heard about the the face-off in the offensive zone.
Yep.
What,
the one face-off dot?
The one face-off dot right in the high slot.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Now, can you explain to me how that would happen? What was the situation? I mean, how does it get into the slot? What were they saying?
What it was the two face-off circles, right, would be scrapped, and there would just be one face-off circle in the slot. So goalie freezes the puck, you know, face-off right in front of him.
Right. Obviously, that's a no-fly zone right there. That's just absolutely ridiculous rule.
Yeah, I think that's pretty stupid.
Yeah.
It'd be hilarious though, right? Like, just get guys trying to whack the puck in off face-offs to score goals and.
Well, the winger would be that much. Both wingers would be that much closer to the net.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. They're both equal distance from the boards to the goalie, and all they'd have to do is win it back to the D. Both of them stand in front of the net, and there's a screen right there.
Yep. Yeah, and you'd have like a four-player screen, or you know, maybe even a six-player screen.
That's it.
Did you see the photo of what the rink looked like?
No, I didn't.
Man, it was pretty funny. It's just this big face-off circle in the slot with nothing else around it. Yeah. Yeah. I think they are going to make the blue lines bigger, though. I think that might be something that the NHL incorporates.
The length between each other or the...
No, the actual width of the line.
Right.
Be longer to allow, you know, a little bit more space to keep the puck in and, I guess, prevent offsides.
Yeah.
They're also kicking around the tires of removing the trapezoid as well.
Yeah.
You know, there's been a lot of talk about that creating more problems that it's solved.
Right.
With goalies not being able to play the puck there, defenders have to go back in and get it, and forecheckers are just, you know, zeroing in on them from the blue line in and just destroying them.
That's right. Well, maybe they should make it, instead of a trapezoid, maybe they should make a zone where, you know, behind the net they can't play the puck, whereas they can play it in the corner. So a goalie can maybe come out as far as where the trapezoid starts, but as soon as he comes back in, he can't stop the puck from going around the corner. Maybe it creates more offensive chances for, you know, the forechecking forward or, you know, the backchecking D or whatever. Who knows?
That would be interesting. So the goalie couldn't go directly behind the net?
That's right.
Wow. So
if they're predicting a shot anyway, they can get out to the corner, but maybe not directly behind the net.
I tell you what, it would change power plays. It would change dump-ins a lot.
Yeah.
Because, you know, a lot of them, you know, race behind there to knock the pucks down. And
that's right. It would definitely create a lot more, I guess, scoring chances, maybe a little bit more flow, some confusion.
Yeah. A goalie can only play a puck in a corner.
That's it. In front of their net and in the corner.
I was actually reading one that I did like, was that in the goal net, obviously there is a goal line, and they were going to put a second line behind it.
Yellow line.
Yeah, the yellow line. And if a puck touched the yellow line, it was a goal.
That's right.
Because there's... Yeah, sorry.
I think that's absolutely what everyone would agree on. Both teams playing a game. Of course, you know, it's such a hard thing to see, even with the cameras. Obviously, there's so many goals that are disputed, and quite obviously, everybody can see that it's a goal. However, there's, you know, on the ice, there's confusion, and they don't allow it. But, you know, as you said, if as soon as it hits the yellow line, automatic goal. That's it. Sounds like a perfect rule. No one can argue, because eventually it would happen to them.
Yeah.
You know, time obviously will be a factor in that. So, you know, I think that's a very good idea. I think that's going to fly.
Yeah. Maybe not this season, but next season, I would say.
Yeah. Well, obviously it's not. Obviously, this development camp isn't meant for an overnight quick fix of the NHL or,
that's right,
you know, it's all research into the future and how they're going to make the game better, faster, more scoring opportunities and whatnot. So this is just a baby step, I guess, but it's a good one.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I look at it and I go, maybe it just pushes the goal line problem back a couple inches. You know, people will be wondering, did it really hit the yellow line, blah, blah, blah. But for anyone that doesn't know, what the rule is that the puck must completely cross the line, not half the puck, not most of it, has to completely go over. So, I mean, if you've got a puck length between the goal line and this yellow line, then, you know, you can't argue with it, right?
No, not at all.
You know, pucks will be on edge and spinning and, you know, those are the kind of problems that we get at the goal line might just end up there. But, you know, nonetheless, I think it's a good idea. One of the wackiest ones I heard, and I just want to, I doubt you've heard this, but a couple of GMs actually got behind it, and I have absolutely no idea why. On a face-off dot, right? On a face-off. You know how players get tossed out of face-off circles?
Yep.
If they misbehave. One of the ideas that they were thinking was that if a player, you know, instead of getting tossed out, they have to move back a foot and still try
to get the pass.
Try and win the face off. I had to read it twice. Like, I was like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Like, I mean, for one, how do you even police that?
What, do you get like a measuring ruler out and measure a foot or?
No, every linesman would just have a, you know, like a foot ruler just in his pocket.
Or maybe they'll bring in like an NFL system with the chain and, you know, the first down chain.
That's right. To quote Dave King, who's an assistant GM of Phoenix, he said, quoting this rule, I think the face-off rule will allow us to create more face-off plays that generate chances because there were far less scrums in the face-offs, and that's good. Of course there's no scrums. Everyone is 6 feet away from where the puck's being dropped.
Does anyone actually touch the puck, or is it just...
That's right. Just goalie just comes out and jumps on it again. Like, Fanoof will get in there and, you know... Or get, like... No, Chara would just take a face-off from outside the circle.
He's the only one with a reach.
He's like, I'll handle it. Like, ugh, man. So I thought that one was a little weird. One other one that I would maybe consider... it really goes against the, you know, what I think is one of the good things about hockey, but on delayed penalties.
Yep.
Obviously, everyone knows that as soon as the, you know, offending team touches the puck, you know, obviously the whistle's blown and that player goes to the penalty box. They're saying that delayed penalty modification, it would actually require the team that has committed the infraction to not only gain possession of the puck to force a whistle, but clear it out of its own zone. Your thoughts on that?
So my understanding is that they would have to gain possession and dump the puck.
Yeah, clear it.
A little bit grounded.
Something. Clear the blue line.
Well, I guess it would definitely create a lot of.
A lot of 6-on-5s.
Yeah, a lot of panic.
Yeah, I mean, touching the puck just wouldn't be the relief.
That's right. You know, once you get to the puck, there's still an extra couple of steps that you've got to, you know, obviously take to get that whistle. But yeah, I think that's that could work. I'd like to see it. Mm. I'd like to see it first.
Maybe, yeah.
You know, I don't know whether it'll be.
It's funny that you mentioned panic, because I think in situations the offensive team panics in that as well.
Yeah.
You know, like I like that Because if you were just in trouble, right, on a delayed penalty in this system, you could just soft dump the puck into the corner.
That's it.
You know, even if you were at the blue line with the puck, and, you know, and just make your four guys go and get it after their two guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. The NHL is really taking all their frustrations out on defense. You know, they're, you know, yeah. And, but they're, yeah, I don't want to go about that too much, but the, you know, there's been enough talk about all the goaltending equipment being reviewed again, form fitting. So these poor people that try and prevent scoring are the ones that, you know, are getting the wrath of the NHL, as they say. But, you know, speaking of more NHL, any other teams you want to talk about? You want to give our readers, or sorry, I guess they're not readers now, they're listeners, a bit of insight onto, you want to talk about any other teams?
I don't think right now any other teams are that interesting. I mean, obviously, camps are, I think, beginning, just about to begin.
Yeah, rookie camps will be underway soon.
Yeah, so there's not enough movement, I think, going on in the NHL right now, or that enough that I know about the teams that are enough movement, you know, in the off season with the teams that I, you know, I'm interested in. I mean,
No early predictions for Stanley Cup winners.
Oilers.
Jordan Eberle and
Cogliano.
Yeah, Cogliano. And they re-signed Sam Gagne today.
Oh, yeah?
Another 2 years. Oh, but we can't talk about the Oilers because Habib Bulin's got... he's going to have to serve prison time for a DUI.
Oh, no, he's not.
I swear to God, he got caught drunk driving in Phoenix during the playoffs last year.
Did he have the cup with him?
No. When he was playing for Edmonton. What, his cup? His 04 cup.
Yeah, yeah.
He hasn't given it back yet.
Yeah.
He's like, in Mother Russia, you keep it. So yeah, they're off the books as far as I'm concerned. I'm going to say Vancouver. And I'm going to go with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, go with a Canadian or the US team. Well, obviously I'm going to go with my, you know, favored Detroit.
Yep.
Friend, nice franchise team.
You look good. Any team from the East?
Maybe Washington.
Yeah.
Washington.
Yeah,
you know, they've made it, you know, what, 3 or 4 years in a row now, and Ovechkin just really can't seal the deal. Top place team last year.
Yeah, by 120 points, man.
You know, and couldn't seal the deal. So maybe this year.
Maybe this year. We'll pay close attention to the NHL season, I'm sure. Okay, well, that's all from us. We're going to wrap this up. Any final words, Weapon?
No, just thanks for having me. Thanks for, you know, all you hockey players, hockey listeners out there, and you know, keep loving the game, keep listening, and, you know, keep reading, obviously, Ozpuck.
Yep, enough said. Take your time for listening to us ramble. We'll be back with some more hockey talk in the near future. In the meantime, visit the blog and tell your friends. All right, bye.